Deus.
ഗ്രന്ഥരാ ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതം കാന്റോ 4 ചാപ്റ്റർ നമ്പർ 27 വേഴ്സ് 23 തതോ വിഹത സങ്കൽപ കന്യകാ യവനേശ്വരം മയോപദിഷ്ടമാസാദ്യ വർവേ നാംനാ ഭയം പതിം തതോ വിഹത സങ്കൽപ കന്യകാ യവനേശ്വരം മയോപദിഷ്ടമാസാദ്യ വർവേ നാംനാ ഭയം പതിം തതോ വിഹത സങ്കൽപ കന്യകാ യവനേശ്വരം മയോപദിഷ്ടമാസാദ്യ വർവേ നാംനാ ഭയം പതിം. കന്യകായവനേശ്വരം മയോപദിഷ്ടമസദ്യ തതഃ ദേരാഫ്റ്റർ വിഹത സങ്കൽപ being disappointed in her determination, kanyaka the daughter of time, yavana ishwaram unto the king of the untouchables, maya upadishtam indicated by me, asadhya having approached, vavre accepted, namna of the name, bhayam fear, patim as her husband. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. After she was thus disappointed by me, with my permission, she approached the king of the Yavanas, whose name was Bhaya or fear, and she accepted him as her husband. Purport. Being the most perfect Vaishnava, Sri Narad Muni is always willing to do good to others, even to one who curses him. Although Kalakanya, the daughter of time, was refused by Narad Muni, she was given a shelter. Of course, no one could give her shelter, but a Vaishnava gives shelters. Vaishnava gives shelter somewhere to such an unfortunate girl. When jara or old age attacks everyone, everyone dwindles and deteriorates. In one stroke, Narad Muni gave shelter to Kalakanya and counter-attacked the ordinary karmis. If one accepts the instructions of Narad Muni, the ocean of fear, bhaya, can be very quickly removed by the grace of that great Vaishnava. ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരന്തസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീലിതം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോവിഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതം യേന ഭൂതലേ Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Tapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvise Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Shri Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Taru Vesya Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna. So I seek the blessings of all devotees. Because this is a very wonderful chapter where Narad Muni is explaining the king about his own life by giving the example of Puranjan. So the chapter describes about attack by Chandaveg to the city of Puranjana. So as previously already some devotees have discussed about this time factor, the Chandaveg is representing the time factor who has 360 soldiers day and night. So in this particular verse, the daughter of time, you know, she is approached Narad Muni with a desire to have Narad Muni as her husband. But surely here Srila Prabhupada explains very nicely that how Vaishnava is always very intelligent and is always compassionate to help others. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 9th chapter, where Bhishmadev is instructing Yudhishthira Maharaj, there he explains about this particular word pragmatic, where it defines that the dealing with the people or things with sensitivity. So here Narad Muni is very sensitive, although he has no desire, but is very intelligently given her option. So whenever a person takes the position of helping others or on the leading, especially Bhishmadev explains very nicely this particular verse of 9th chapter of first canto, where there is always a tug of war between, like here Narad Muni is very clearly understanding that this daughter of time, she is approached him for material things, but at the same time Narad Muni was very compassionate to help her. So that's why Prabhupada said that if one accepts the instructions of Narad Muni, one will become totally free from the fear. So as such, the great devotees know that in this world no one can live without shelter. Everyone requires shelter. So it says that physical shelter lies in sense gratification. So the people in this world, they're all also sheltered, because no one can remain without shelter. So this sense gratification is a physical shelter. And interestingly, if we see that if in this world Krishna would not have created this art, music, so generally you see everyone, you know, they are always with the earphones, whether they're driving, whether they're sleeping, so they can't live without, you know, some sort of music, which is very dear to the karmis. So Krishna has provided for everyone's livelihood in the form of sense gratification also. So this is what is a physical shelter, and the emotional shelter lies in prestige, where if someone is fed up with material sense gratification, so then he has to have something else as a shelter. So he seeks the shelter. That's why Prabhupada says that those who are hardcore karmis, so when they're tired of material sense gratification, they look for something higher. They look for some subtle things, which are more actually difficult to give up. Somebody can give up the gross sense gratification, but it's very difficult for a person to give up the subtle sense gratification, which is the emotional shelter. You know, that Prabhupada says that there are some people who die on their chair. They don't want to give up their chair. Dhritarashtra also was not ready to give up his chair. So we find that it's very strong bonding which all living entities have. But the ultimate shelter does not come in the category of this material things, but the ultimate shelter only can come by the grace of the pure devotee who knows what is best for the living entities, what is best for the conditioned souls. So that's why Narad Muni is a great Mahajan, where the great souls only can understand what is the best course of action. So they can discriminate, and at the same time they can take a right decision. So if in place of Narad Muni some dry speculator or some person who is practicing the dry renunciation, he would have cursed, or he would have become very angry. As we see the example of Vishwamitra Muni, he became very angry at the sense object, because he wanted to have something else, and the sense objects are pulling him in some different direction. So only a devotee can actually deal with the things very properly, because he's established himself in the right consciousness under the right instructions of the previous acharyas. But generally in a practicing stage, because we have not crossed the effect of the three modes of material nature, so when some object which is not helping us to become, to achieve the particular path of our life, particular goal of our life, so that object becomes, the recipient of our anger. We become very angry on those objects. But Srila Prabhupada very clearly says that, one should not become angry on the instruments which create a trouble in our life. But generally we are not able to see something higher than that. Because one has not crossed the effect of the three modes, so it's very difficult for him to become free from fear. As it says, the definition of fear, very interestingly, because here this particular word comes, namna bhayam patim, that she accepted the fear as her husband. So it says that fear is a painful or unwanted emotions experienced by us due to an impending danger. So for any person who is practicing, whatever, who is living his life, so he sees some, impending danger in front of his eyes. So we experience the fear. So the actual cause of the fear is bhayam dvitiya vinivesyat, that because of the dualities of this material world, one becomes fearful. So in that sense, Bhagavatam explains very clearly all the aspects of our life. So from that perspective, if one takes shelter of Bhagavatam, he can actually become fearless. As these three shelters are there, so Bhagavatam actually has a potency to give all three shelters in that sense. You know, even on the level of sensual fulfillments, one can actually become totally satisfied when one takes shelter of the Supreme Lord from all angles. The problem with us that we are not able to access that, you know, personality. So the problem is not with the process, the problem is with us. And then because of that, we take a particular course of actions to resolve our issues, our difficulties, by taking shelter of something material for some temporary purpose. But ultimately, one has to understand and one has to realize that ultimate shelter can come only by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So devotees are always in knowledge. I'm talking about the pure devotees. The pure devotees are always in knowledge where they know the connection of all material elements with the Supreme Lord. So many years back, Ramananda was giving one example of, he had spoken on this topic of fear. So he had seen one hoarding in Chennai where there was a very fierce dog who was about to pounce on the person. And there is a person who is fearlessly standing, you know, like a shepherd or some big dogs, you know. So they look like very ferocious. So if they have no ropes and we stand in front of them, we'll be very, very fearful. But this particular hoarding was having this personality who was totally fearless. And the dog is about to, you know, pounce on him. So the other part was, the dog was tied with the rope. So no matter how much he jumps, he can never actually do any harm to that person. So similarly, pure devotees of the Lord, they know that Maya is like the dog, where she's always ready to, you know, do harm to others, other living entities. But because they are able to see the connection of that particular dog with the, you know, tight rope which is in the hand of the master, so those people have no fear. So as long as we are in the dualities, so we'll experience, as long as we are on the bodily platform, we'll experience the fear. So in this world there are different types of fear. So as we know, this bhoge roga bhayam. So as soon as on the festival days we, you know, get a nice feast prasadam, so we experience great joy. But we are in the back of the mind, we are always aware that if I take more, if I do sense gratification, atyahar, I will have to face, you know, like sometimes some devotees are prepared with some digestive things also, so to counteract the difficulties. But as soon as we do something which is not favorable for our physical body also, so we experience the fear. In this world, we'll find that everybody who does something which is not natural for that person, so while doing those things, he becomes very fearful. Especially those people who are, you know, induced by their friends in the colleges to do something, wrong activities, so there is always experience of fear. Someone who first times smokes, he is always filled with fear. So that means there is something unnatural he is accepting. So he experiences the fear in his heart. Or sometimes we undergo some operation. After the operation, everyone is fearful at what they have done, you know. Because it's not very clear. Like when I had underwent the operation, then I was feeling a lot of difficulties. So then I approached one devotee doctor. So then the person said that actually whenever some new body comes in the body, in our body, new entity comes in our body, so the body cells also are disturbed because they don't understand that what is this new element has come, you know. So it takes time for them also to readjust themselves. But as long as we don't have clarity, so we always feel or experience fear. So when person becomes very clear in his consciousness, he can become free from all types of fears. So that's why if one has a clear thinking, you know, then it becomes very easy for him to take right actions. As in the chapter of Prithu Maharaj, he was very clear in his thoughts. Although he was a great ruler, but then the same canto where he previously he prepares for departing to the spiritual world. So he was very, very clear in his consciousness. So Prabhupada writes there that because Prithu Maharaj was, he is himself an empowered incarnation of the Lord. So it is not required for him to practice any basic, you know, way of spirituality, because he himself is an empowered personality by the Lord and he was sent by the Lord. But for showing an example, establishing an example, you know, that particular chapter in the end, Prabhupada writes that he exemplified himself by practicing the process of devotion service very nicely. And by practicing that process, you know, gradually he experienced the highest amount of ecstasy, you know, the love of the Supreme Lord, which is at our present level, you know, the question mark whether, you know, whether we are experiencing, because most of the times we are always under the fear in all stages of our life. But these are the best examples for us where these personalities by their practice has proved, has shown the ultimate goal of the life which any devotee can achieve in his life. So generally, before accepting any shelter, we have a lot of doubts. But the personality of Krishna is so wonderful that he can remove all the doubts in our heart. So someone may argue that why to surrender to Krishna? You know, why not to somebody else? Because that choice is always there. So surely, you know, from the reference of Nectar of Devotion, we can answer ourselves that how in this material world there is nobody who has completeness in his personality. As we see that there are some people who have very good voice, but they look like buffalo. There are very powerful personalities, but their brain is in the, you know, knee, as Marathi there, Gudghyat Mendu hai. So there is, you know, all things of this world are very distorted. Everything is distorted. Nothing is at one place. So that is why there is chaos in this world. But at the same time, there is no personality who has such a amazing qualities present at one personality. You know, so somebody has this but doesn't have this. So that's why no one in this world actually can become the cause of complete shelter for anyone else. No one can give. Even in our devotional life also, we can see that apart from the Supreme Lord, as such, the material arrangements cannot give us complete shelter. So as long as one is very clear in this concept, one will not feel the fear in his heart. But if one is not very clear about this concept, then always there will be a fear. So Krishna has the all supremely qualities. So one can ask this question, why to accept Krishna as the supreme? Or how can Krishna protect? So the NOD explains that he can protect all living entities because he has that capacity of protecting. So he is the supreme controller and he is very strong. And after coming to this point that okay, if I accept Krishna as the supreme because he has the power to give the shelter, then someone may have this question that why Krishna is so proud to display his prowess. So anybody gives answer for this that because he is naturally heroic, so he doesn't have to show, you know, any great personality does not have to show something, it's naturally available with him. You know, if someone says and why this particular object is of this color, that is an innate nature of that object. So similarly, Krishna does not endeavor to show his heroism, it's natural for him. So in that sense, if we understand the shastras, all the shastras give a very very clear understanding about why to choose a particular person. Recently I had gone to Tamil Nadu, so near Kumbakonam there was a temple which was very interestingly kind of gives us clarity that how if we take shelter of the Supreme Lord exclusively, one can actually become totally satisfied, because the Supreme Lord has the capacity to give that complete shelter. So there is one temple known as Nachiyar Koil in the Kumbakonam, 10 kilometers from Kumbakonam. So then one devotee was explaining that how ultimately Krishna only can fulfill all desires. So this particular temple is a temple of one of the gopis. Very interestingly, after Bhagavatam was spoken at the Naimisharanya, so all the sages, they after the Bhagavatam was over, they departed to their own places. So there was one particular sage who was little disappointed or unhappy in his heart, because he was, after hearing 10th canto, he was feeling that surely the fallen peoples of the age of Kali will misunderstand the pastimes of Lord with the gopis. And they will have no problem with the pastimes in Dwarka, because he formally married all the queens. But here he has not done that, so people will misunderstand. So he prayed to Lord after the Bhagavatam class of 7 days or whatever that period was there, that my Lord, please grant me a boon of a child, a girl child, who should be one of the gopis from Golok Vrindavan. So that was his particular request. So the Lord said, surely your desire will be fulfilled, but for time being you go to the south province where you stay there. So he came to this place, and while doing the service near temple in the garden, he saw a beautiful girl child, and by seeing her only he understood that she cannot be from this material world. So he raised her, and when she came to the marriageable age, particular sage, he arranged a swayamvar, and it describes that all the 106 Divyadesham, the lords, they all came for the swayamvar, you know. And because she was very divinely beautiful and she was not from this material world, so they all came, and they had come with a gorgeous opulence along with them. So when this gopi was going in front of everyone, so she went first to Ranganath, and she said no, so she rejected everyone, and all the lords were in a surprise that whom she is going to accept. So while this was going on, Krishna suddenly tells to Balaram that I have to go to South India. And then Balaram ji says, what is the cause, what is the purpose? So he says, there is one devotee who is calling for me. So then he says, okay, then go along with your wives. He says, no, for this particular place I cannot go with my wives. So then Balaram ji goes with him, and along with the Balaram, Krishna's son Aniruddha, his son Purushottam, they all go. And after going there, immediately she becomes very happy, and she garlands the Supreme Lord. and all the other, you know, Vishnu Murtis, they also give a, you know, consent for that, is that she has taken the right shelter. So that's what the devotees only know, that whom to take shelter. That, as Prabhupada says in the particular verse, Ekeha Kuru Nandana. If you read the purport, where Prabhupada says that only Krishna, for the, you know, Krishna's devotees, that they take shelter in the Krishna's, at the Krishna's lotus feet. So, and the next part is very interesting, that now she took the shelter of Lord. Generally in this material world, we find that on the day of the, you know, marriage, there are so many things happening. But the after the marriage, there has to be a lot of mutual agreement. And here in this particular pastime, where Lord was about to leave from this place, and the father of this girl, he had become very attached to his daughter. She said, I can't live without her. So then he says to Lord that, no, it's very painful for me. So then Lord says, no, I am so happy today, you can ask any boon. And then this devotee says, are you sure that I can ask any boon? He said, Lord says, any boon, any number of boons you can ask. So then he says, the first boon I want, that you cannot go back to Dwarka. You have to live here. So then Lord feels very disturbed by that. He says that, no, I should have thought of before giving him the benediction. But then Lord says, accepted. Then he says, the next thing is that all your temples are known by your name, but this temple will be known by my daughter's name. You know, Nachiya Koel, that's why it is. You know, then Lord says, anyway, Kali Yuga, it's going to be like that. You know, so, and then he says, all the property should be, the key of the locker, the temple, should be with my daughter. Then again Lord says, that's also going to happen in Kali Yuga. The keys will be with the wives. So then the particular pastime where it says that there's only one person who can actually fulfill all the desires. You know, so Krishna is the only person who can actually ultimately fulfill all desires of living entity. So in that sense, if we offer our best thing which we have, that will be the perfection of our life. So in that connection, a few days back I was hearing Sarvalakshmipu was telling the story. I don't know whether he has spoken previously, but I like that story very much, that there is one particular family couple who had gone to Jagannath Puri, and while praying to Lord, they also came to know that all the food, the chappan bhogs, are offered by the devotees. The Lakshmiji personally comes and cooks for Lord in the kitchen of Jagannath. So those couple, they pray to Lord that, my Lord, please offer us also a boon of having a daughter who is the incarnation of Lakshmi Devi, partial incarnation. So then when they went back, they got a daughter, and when she was growing up, she had a very divine qualities. But one particular day, one panda comes from the Jagannath Puri in their home, and both the husband and wife, they served this panda very nicely. And when he was about to depart back to Jagannath Puri, so this family, they offered a lot of donations of gold and various precious ornaments. But at that time, this small girl, she was thinking that, what I can offer to Lord. So she was thinking that I can offer a lot of things, because she was princely, you know, princess, and she had a lot of money. Her parents were very rich. So she said that anyway, that is offered by my parents to this panda, to which will be offered to Jagannath. So Jagannath has already got so much money, he has got so much opulence. So she was thinking, what is the best thing which I can offer to Lord? And while thinking this, she said that, she thought that anything of this material world, you know, which is available, which are very good things, which are creations of Lord, but they are all temporary. But if I can offer my mind, which is filled with the devotion to the Lord, I think that will be the best gift. So then she takes maybe some old kasturi was there in the home, and she puts her mind. So that's all going on in the thoughts. And praying to Lord Jagannath, she said, please accept this as my offering. And then she gives to that panda. And so he sees and he takes it. So while going on the way, he was thinking that all other things, donations are very good. What is the use of this old kasturi which has no smell? So he throws it off. And he goes to Jagannath Puri, and then night he sleeps. And the night Jagannath comes in a dream, in his dream. You don't know, you think that you got a lot of donations for me. But the best donation which was offered to you, you threw it on the road. So get up right now and go in the same road and search for that particular thing, because that was the offering of my devotee's mind. So this particular pastime, which shows very interestingly that when we offer our mind and heart to the Lord, surely Lord accepts it. Of course, Lord accepts everything. But Lord is actually waiting for this particular surrender. Man mana bhavam abhyutma, that one offers his mind to the Supreme Lord. And if one has offered that, surely there will be no problem for that person to live without fear. That's why in the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord says, Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshishyami mashucha. That only Lord can say, bhivano kos mituja padishyaya. So nobody else in this world can say, this is a fact that no one can actually offer any shelter except Krishna. So thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Any questions? Hare Krishna.
Huh? Yeah. So is it a personality, or is it a demigod, or is it what is it actually?
This is an allegorical example given by Narad Muni.
Narad Muni earlier is giving an allegory, and then he says, yeah, one day.
So he is telling all those things that, actually this is as very clear this chapter explains about the person's life, that how he is affected by different things. So Narad Muni is telling all these things, and that how this particular Gandharva is going to attack with the 360. So all these things are allegorical examples given by, which actually happen in the real life. So as she is going to marry, the Kaal, when the Kaal comes in her life, fear comes. So that's how everything is spoken as a course of our life, that what is going to happen. So Narad Muni is giving him through this, like Shaka Chandra Nyay, basically, okay, this is what. So then he understands the reality. So similarly here, as such, these are also personality, because in the other part of the Bhagavatam where it says that in the creation part, where these are the childrens of Brahma, the sinful tendencies, they are also created child of the Brahma. So in that sense, they are all personalities. But at this particular pastime where Narada is giving them allegorical examples. Hare Krishna.